Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, everybody. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. We got a jam-packed show. What Hal Steinbrenner had to say about Juan Soto. Are Giant players pissed about the benching of Daniel Jones and the elevation of Tommy DeVito, and yet another random L.A. Dodgers scrub rips the New York Yankees? We'll get to everything over the course of the next 4.5 hours, but I apologize. I hope you can indulge me for a minute. I want to talk about a dream I had last night. It was actually a nightmare, and it was so real. You know how sometimes you like wake up and you're like, did that really happen? So I woke up, and so vividly, I had this nightmare that Woody Johnson, the owner of the New York Jets, got so involved with the football team I love.
Isn't he already?
That Woody Johnson was actually demanding that they bench Aaron Rodgers 3 weeks into the season. And I'm like, oh my God. I tried to wake myself up out of the nightmare, but I kept sleeping. And then the dream continued. And then I had a nightmare that Woody Johnson basically told his general manager a year ago, you're a lump of coal, you're useless, you're not going to do anything. So when you come to me and you say, hey, I want to extend Bryce Huff, a good young player that we've developed, I'm going to say, nah. And then I had the nightmare continued. Again, I'm twisting, I'm turning, I'm trying to wake up, I'm screaming my wife's name, please get me out of this nightmare. Then I got this one that the Jets had a deal done for Jerry Jeudy, and Woody Johnson again said, nope, not doing it. Then another nightmare where Woody Johnson was like, Hassan Reddick, I'm not negotiating with this clown. And then I finally woke up, and I took a deep breath, and I said, Evan, I know you root for horrible sports teams, horrible sports franchises that have given you nothing in your entire life, but no, don't worry. Your franchises can't be that pathetic. Your football team couldn't possibly be run by an owner who knows less football than what's in my thumb right now. It's not possible that the owner of the team started lecturing football lifers. Say what you want about them. They're football lifers like Robert Saleh, like your friend Nate Hackett, like Joe Douglas. There's no way Woody Johnson, who's an expert on nothing other than, you know, being a billionaire, actually lectured them to sit a Hall of Fame quarterback 3 weeks into a season. There's no way that happened. So I woke up and I felt better because I said, Tiki, none of that could possibly be true.
Well, I mean, you could question it if it was some, I don't know, internet troll. But this is Zach Rosenblatt and Diana Rossini on The Athletic. And we know that their stuff is good. And it probably came from the now ex-general manager of the New York Jets. So when you get fired, guess what? There is no gag order in football. And so
There's no NDAs in football.
No NDAs.
Yeah.
He didn't have, I mean, I was going to say keep paying me, but he only has, whatever, 8 weeks left on his contract. So that doesn't even matter. But you know where this came from, which just gives you that much more belief that it's true. And the crazy thing, because the first thing I thought when I heard this was, man, does that mean that Robert Saleh got fired because he wouldn't bench Aaron Rodgers? Now, I don't think ultimately, as I thought about it, I don't think that was actually the case, but it was probably the beginning of the case. And, you know, Woody Johnson, I mean, does he think that Tyrod Taylor is better for this team in that moment? Maybe. But why isn't someone there to tell him that's not the case? Right? Why does he even have that thought that he can go to his, apparently, GM, head coach, offensive coordinator, basically all the decision makers on the offensive side of the ball, and make that claim? Now, maybe it was just a, hey, we should have a conversation about Aaron. He doesn't look healthy, yada, yada, yada. Maybe it's being blown out of proportion in that way.
Right.
But just the fact that you're having like a sit-down meeting about benching the guy that you spent all of these resources to bring in makes no damn sense.
Yes, and what really kills you about that request from Woody Johnson, and really any of the requests of Woody Johnson, is not even the specific request or the specific thing he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the ultimate problem, and we can go through every owner in this city, every owner in this town, and a lot of these owners have evolved. Some of these owners were hands-on, and they're not hands-on anymore. Others aren't hands-on, now they're a little bit more hands-on. Here are the facts. If you're hands-on like this, like what was described of Woody Johnson, I can promise you, you will win nothing.
Mm.
You are in a cycle of hell.
Right.
It is one thing for you and I to have fair and honest discussions about draft picks and free agent signings.
Right. Or even opinionated discussions.
Of course. On what general managers do. And if they don't do a good enough job, eventually they get fired. Look, I've been here for a long time. I've watched a lot of general managers in New York sports come and go. And some of them have done better jobs than others, and we have nice discussions on what they've done. And really, it's a win-loss business. If you win enough, you'll stick around. If you lose too much, you're gone. An owner is a lot scarier, bro. It's scarier because they don't get fired. Ultimately, Woody Johnson can do whatever he wants with his toy known as the New York Jets. And to me, the ultimate sign that you're going to win nothing is when you have an owner that's as handsy as that.
Right.
You're not going to win when you have an owner that's that handsy. So it's not even about the decision to walk into respected football men's offices and tell them to bench Aaron Rodgers. It's not even that. It's not even nixing the Jerry Jeudy trade. It's not even the Bryce Huff extension. It's nothing specific. It's the idea that if the owner of the team, who, yes, has every right to do whatever the hell they want, if they continue to act that way, I can promise you this, they will lose forever.
Right.
They will continue to be losers. And that's why this story around Woody Johnson is not about one move. It's not about one decision. It's that if this continues, our sentence has been written. We will watch nothing but garbage for the rest of our lives until Woody Johnson either sells, leaves, or croaks. And I'm not rooting for any of that stuff. I'm just being honest. We're just having an honest conversation. That's the reality. You can't be this handsy as an owner, know this little about football, and expect to win anything. Tell me when I'm saying something wrong.
You're not. I mean, who thought on a Wednesday after the season is basically, you know, going down the drain, you're going to get this emotional about Woody Johnson? You know what it feels like to me? Because we've seen this somewhere else before. Now, it happens that the other guy who does this in the NFL actually played football in college.
Mm.
He actually had success being the quote-unquote general manager of his team early in his tenure as an owner. I'm talking obviously about Jerry Jones.
Sure.
But look at what Jerry Jones has failed to do for the last two decades.
Mm.
It's been forever since the Dallas Cowboys had a legitimate shot to win a championship, even though there has been meddling every single step of the way. It doesn't work. Because what you ultimately end up doing is undercutting those that you put in position to have that power. Whether it's Douglas with coaches and scouts and everybody else, or it's Robert Saleh with his assistant coaches and his players. Like, once you start taking control away from those guys that you gave control, like reverse delegation, it emasculates them.
Yes.
It makes them ineffective,
and
people will not listen to you anymore when they don't feel like you're a strong leader because someone else is taking that away from
you. You know what else? It's a great point you bring up, but here's what else happens. Every single person in the NFL reads this story, hears the stories, and hears the whispers. Why would you ever work for him? Why would you ever work for him? Why would good people, good football people, other than desperation, come and work for Woody Johnson and the New York Jets? So even if Woody has a come to Jesus moment today, he listens to sports talk radio, he looks at social media, and Woody says, you know what? I'm doing more harm than good. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go to the United Kingdom. I'm going to try to hire some good people, and I'm not going to get involved. I'm never going to call. I'm never going to text. I'm just going to say, go win, and I'll give you 4 years. And I'll come back in 4 years, and if you're winning, great. I'll give you an extension. If you're not winning, I'm going to fire everybody. Even if he has that moment, who would believe him? Who around the NFL would buy it when you hear that Joe Douglas was treated like a potted plant for the last 13 months? Who would believe it when you hear about the owner going to the head coach and saying, sit the Hall of Fame quarterback after 3 weeks? Who would believe it? So it's so bad. I can't overstate how bad this is. I can't overstate how pathetic this franchise is. Sometimes you people, you Giant fans out there, you probably look at us like we're the boy who cried wolf. Like, this is what Jet fans do. You scream and you yell and you want everyone to feel bad for you and it's same old Jets and all that kind of stuff.
It's a good analogy.
You like that? I promise you, this stuff's real now. This is bad. This isn't, we're just freaking out on a Wednesday in November. This is horrible stuff. This is Dolan in his prime of badness stuff. And by the way, he fixed it. I don't mean to run Dolan down. Why should I? He fixed it. He realized he shouldn't be involved. And despite releasing statements, he may not be half wrong, that the NBA's harassing him and the Knicks, which we'll get to later, he doesn't get involved anymore because he realized it. And sometimes it takes years to get that stank off of you because everyone thinks you're still getting involved. I am telling you right now, ring the alarm bells from the loudest tower, from the loudest building. We as Jet fans are screwed. And that's concerning because I don't want to be a football fan that says we're done forever. But when you have an owner who acts this way, how could you talk me out of the negativity that we all face?
Well, you talk yourself out of the negativity because he cares. But that's the one thing you do know. He cares.
I'll give him that little check mark. Right. He cares.
He does care. I mean, otherwise, he wouldn't be doing these things.
Right.
He wouldn't be trying to take control. But there's a difference, I think, between caring and knowing what you're good at. And maybe because you're the owner, you think you're good at everything else. And you're stepping in and creating disruption because you're trying to make it better. And you don't realize it. And so who's going to tell him that? Like, who's in position to tell him that? It's why I keep talking about there needs to be that little buffer.
Right.
Like, that well-respected whoever it may be. Maybe it's Denver? John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
Or John Elway took over and I forget what his title was. He ultimately became the president and the GM. Right. But maybe you need that.
Well, you know what I think it is? You're right. It's someone he respects. It also may have to be, and I think this is like a chicken and the egg thing, because I'm going to describe what they need, but then going back to the point I made before, it's impossible to get that because no one's going to want to work here, but you need someone with a resume.
Yes.
Because Joe Douglas was here for 5.5 years, and he didn't win anything. In fact, it was the opposite. To be in one job for 5.5 years and never have a winning season is almost an accomplishment. Like, it is incredible to keep one's job. It's why whenever I hear people say you need to be more patient, you're talking about another franchise. You're not talking about the Jets.
Right.
I don't want to hear about patience. Joe Douglas was here for the full 6 years, basically, of his contract.
Right.
And they didn't win.
And they have yet to be to the postseason, and this is now going on 13 years.
And not only that, like, his record, which we talked about yesterday, is 30-63. I'd actually argue it's worse, because when he took over, he actually took over where he had no offseason, where he just inherited a roster, and that was the best year he had. They went 7-9. Why are we even giving him credit for that? So it's actually worse. So I think the problem is, you invest in someone, you give them the power, 4 years later you're like, hey, you still suck, what am I doing? And then you feel the urge to get involved. So the only person or persons that Woody would listen to is someone who's got the resume that he can point to and say, this is why you should trust me, and you point to a win-loss record. Joe Douglas didn't have that. And that's why Woody got involved, but the problem is it's too late. It's been broken. even if you want to hire that person and get out of the way, who would trust you? Right. Who would trust Woody Johnson at this point?
I think it's got to be unconventional. Honestly, it's Phil Savage who's been filling that role, who is now the interim general manager. Like, I don't think anybody realized Phil Savage was on this within this organization until he got appointed to the, maybe if you know football, you do, but I had no idea. And I know who Phil Savage is. And so it probably was him. And maybe he's the one that's been guiding Woody. Mm. But if he's now the interim, doesn't it feel like there was an ulterior motive? And so it just, it gets really dicey when you appoint the guy who was advising you as the replacement for the guy you just fired. It just gets dicey.
I can't believe I'm going to say this because I have scoffed and laughed at everybody that's brought this up, but desperate times call for desperate measures. For Woody to trust anybody, it's got to be somebody he's had success with. I can't believe I'm saying this. We've been thinking about Rex, the head coach. How about Rex, the team president?
Same old Jets.
Dude, I know that sounds crazy.
I don't think Rex would want to do that. I think Rex wants, I think he misses the grind of being a head coach. And being an executive is a completely different grind. And so I don't know if he'd want to do that. He's only 61 years old. He'd be 62 and in a month or so.
Could he be a head coach and bring in his instead of doing the roles reverse? And I know it sounds backwards, but we're talking about a deranged situation with Woody Johnson where he needs somebody he could trust. I'm even laughing at myself, but Rex is somebody with Woody that has that relationship.
I don't like going backwards. You know, and
that's
the analogy,
what it would feel like.
It all feels like going backwards. And I used this analogy when Joe brought it up weeks ago. Do you marry your ex-wife? No. Nobody marry. I mean, if you do marry your ex-wife, let me know how that goes. I can't imagine
She's been doing Pilates since you broke up.
It doesn't matter. So I'm not a fan of going backwards. And yeah, over the next few weeks and months, we're going to have names. We brought up names yesterday of who can save this franchise. The problem is, as long as Woody Johnson is going to act the way he was described yesterday in The Athletic, courtesy of some very good reporting by Diana Russini, Zach Rosenblatt, and Joe Douglas himself, then nothing can save the New York Jets. That's the depressing part. Woody Johnson needs to change. And even if he decides to change today, who the hell would believe him? We'll get your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. But I always try to come with an idea. So I do have an idea on how to save the New York Jets, an idea on how to impact change on the New York Jets, and it involves all of us. I'll explain it coming up, plus your phone calls, 888-808-1019. A lot of giant talk to get to. Plus, what Hal Steinbrenner had to say today about Juan Soto is making some Yankee fans feel good. It's making other Yankee fans completely depressed. I realized it was all real. Woody Johnson's the worst owner in New York sports. I started to think, all right, I can bitch about this with Tiki, and we will, but I have to offer a solution. I have to come up with a way to fix this, and I did. I studied it. I thought about it. I used different analogies in my head. I know how to fix Woody Johnson. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
So, in reading The Athletic's piece on Woody Johnson and the Jets' mess, I came across this little paragraph I'd like to read aloud. When offensive tackle Tyron Smith and wide receiver Mike Williams lingered after the initial wave of free agent signings, the Jets pursued both. Multiple team sources believe this was a matter of Woody Johnson's preoccupation with social media factoring into the Jets' decision-making. We've heard this before. Woody pays a lot of attention to New York Jets social media.
Are you kidding me?
Stop. This is multiple team sources. I ain't making this up.
I know you're not, but I can't believe that that's a determining factor in, I don't know, anything.
Well, here's the good news. Use it as a weapon. So, Jet fans, I know what we have to do. We have to use social media to get to Woody Johnson. Mm-hmm. We've got two choices. Choice number one, probably not the best idea, but let's talk about it anyway. We pressure Woody Johnson to sell the team. Now, the problem with that is Woody's going to be defiant. Like, is he really going to listen to us? Even if he sees that all of us are begging for him to sell said team, that's not usually going to work. So while I know it's a great idea on the surface, hashtag sell the team, pretty please, the end game isn't there.
Right.
So worthy of a discussion, I don't think it's going to get to him. The other thing is, we got to tell Woody Johnson in one loud voice that you have to butt out, that this doesn't work. So I don't know if there's a catchy phrase to do it, but we as Jet fans, and I'm not sitting there on X all day anymore. I used to maybe back in the day. We have to use social media to talk to our overlord. We need to convince him because he's got all this power that we can't strip away. We have to accept that. We can't strip it away. We can't impeach an owner, as great as that would be. So maybe now we've got to bombard Woody Johnson with mind your own business, let the GM be the GM. Am I crazy?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but I just don't think that that's going to work.
Why? He's they convinced him to sign Tyron Smith and Mike Williams.
No, it didn't. I'm sure that Joe Douglas had some, in the scouting department, had some kind of say in all those moves. There's no way that he did.
Look. Multiple sources said this was a matter of Johnson's preoccupation with social media, and it factored into the Jet decision-making. He listens to social media. We all know how this works. If your wife isn't listening to you, maybe she'll listen to you if, you know, you do it while she's watching a reality show she loves. Maybe the reality show star is going to convince her. Or us as sports fans. Maybe she uses football to convince us to listen to what she's saying. It's kind of the same thing. Woody Johnson lives on social media. He's like a 14-year-old boy. Like, he's basically a child. So we have to treat him as such.
I just don't believe that.
I'm trying to offer solutions to fix this franchise.
I'm going to tweet him right now.
What are you going to say?
Let the GM, new GM, just be the GM, Woody, please. We're begging you.
Good job. Can you start that?
I'm going to do it right now.
Thank you very much.
Now, hopefully, is that a hashtag?
Woody doesn't need the hashtag. He just needs the words, I think.
I think he just needs the words. He needs to see an overwhelming reminder of what you need to do to be a successful New York owner. Because in my humble opinion, and we talked about this a few weeks ago around John Mara and ownership, I said, all I want from my owner is an owner that's willing to spend, hires the right people, and gets the hell out of the way. That, to me, is the perfect trifecta of what a great owner is.
Yeah. Isn't it exhausting trying to talk your owner into being a great owner?
Yes.
You want him to be.
Yes.
He might not. He just might not be. Now, again, I said this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. From a business standpoint, he's a great owner.
Sure.
They're almost $7 billion business. But when you're a businessman, as most of these owners are, the mayors are not. The Tishes are, but the mayors are not. The mayors, it's football.
Mm-hmm.
Football is their business. But most of these business people know how to run businesses. But when they start meddling in football, things go poorly.
That's why you shouldn't meddle.
David Tepper is an example.
Great example.
And he's starting to try to find his way to not do that.
Right.
And so he could, and the millions and billions that he have mean absolutely nothing when it comes to what happens inside a football clubhouse and organization. It's so different. The monetary side of it, 100%. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Take your expertise and go run with it. But leave the football stuff to people who know football.
Amen. 888-808-1019. Lee on Long Island. Good afternoon, Lee.
Okay, so I can't believe I'm saying this, and I don't want to be drug tested or anything like that, but I'm actually going to give a mild defense of Woody here.
Oh, mild.
No. Very mild. Because I think he's a terrible owner, and I think he should sell. I want to be clear about that. But I do. So this, my defense is, like I said, very tepid. But here's the thing. Regardless of what you feel about Woody, Joe Douglas was a terrible GM.
Mm-hmm.
You said it before.
Yeah.
He took over this team 5 years ago, and that was a mess he took over, and they're worse now. So think about how bad you have to be to take the 2019 Jets and make them worse. He did it. So it's an accomplishment. That's what he should put on his resume. I can destroy anything. But here's the thing with Woody. He saw what was happening to this team after 4 years, and he did what you said. He let Joe Douglas run the team for 4.5 years, and the guy ran it into the ground even further, and his draft picks were abysmal. The reason they were getting Aaron Rodgers is because he missed on Zach. After tanking, he missed on Zach Wilson. And he hired a terrible coach. It was inexcusable. This team was being run into the ground, and if I was Woody, I probably would have fired him last year, but I totally understand Woody taking control from him. And if I was Woody, here's how I would get the GM. I would say to the next GM candidate, every one of them, I don't want to get involved. I had to because he did such a terrible job. Look at his record. I had to get involved. I don't want to be that guy. Please come in here and make it so I never have to get involved.
I think that is as good of a defense of Woody Johnson as one could come up with, because I think it's an undefendable situation. With that said, my caveat to you is, yes, Joe Douglas did a terrible job, then just fire him and hire someone else. Don't spend 8-9 months making football decisions when you don't know about football.
I don't think he hired a terrible coach. When we had Connor on yesterday, he said as much. Robert Saleh was the hot defensive candidate.
He was.
There was no doubt about that. The challenge became putting the offensive staff together, because for most of Robert Saleh's tenure, their defense was pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
It was the offensive side of the ball. So the challenge when you hire young coaches like that, and D'Amico Ryan's got that right, because he did the same thing that Robert Saleh did,
right?
Meaning bringing someone from that 49ers staff who understands all of the nuance of what Kyle Shanahan is trying to do. He's going to put his own little twist on it. And the Houston Texans made the playoffs with a rookie quarterback last year. Robert Saleh tried to do the same thing. He just had the wrong guy as the offensive coordinator. He was just too young and inexperienced. And as a result, you failed offensively from that point till now.
That's a part of being a head coach, putting the right people around you.
But that's less on Robert Saleh. That's more on the organization. Right? When you do these interviews for head coaches, I mean, I know what the first question I'd be asking, you know, how do you lead men? How do you get guys?
Blah, right, blah, right. Blah.
The very next thing is, what's your staff look like?
I agree.
Like, tell me who's going to be helping this guy do this or that guy do that. What kind of offense are you going to run? What's the scheme defensively? Now, if you're an owner and you're just enamored because they speak good words and it sounds footballish,
right,
but you have no idea what the hell they're talking about, which I think happens a lot.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. A lot of owners just don't know. Like, when you start describing the terminology, it's like listening to a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you don't know it, you can sound really impressive.
Right.
But you got to hire the right people.
Right.
And they just didn't from a offensive standpoint. And it showed, and it's still showing. And once you, as we said many times, once you miss on that franchise quarterback as a top 5 or top 10 pick, it sets you back half a decade.
Because
you're desperate.
100%. I would equate this to the discussions we had around Mara. John Mara would deserve to be blamed for hiring the wrong people if those people turn out to be the wrong people and you say, hey, you didn't have enough success, I'm firing you.
Right.
And that's a fair determination to kind of say, hey, you hired the wrong people. What I wouldn't want John to do, Mr. Mara, or I wouldn't want Mr. Johnson to do, is when they've realized they hired the wrong people, to spend 6 months being the GM themselves.
Right.
Like, that is the worst thing you could do.
Right.
And that's the mistake we made.
How true do we think that is?
I think it's very true.
I mean, it probably is, but I mean, just think about that.
Yeah, it's insanity.
It really is.
That's the Jets, Teak. That's the Jets. The Giants have been bad. The Jets have been bad. The Jets are a special kind of bad. We're a very unique kind of bad. We're an all-time, everything's on fire kind of bad.
They've been in the abyss for 55 freaking years.
It's true. It's damn true. Let's go to Mike in West Caldwell. How are you, Mike?
Well, the Jets are always chasing hope. The Giants at least know when to throw in the towel. That's the difference with them. But listen, this is a pivotal moment in the Jets and in sports. And Evan, you actually can campaign, because the only thing owners will move the needle is money.
Mm.
And it's going to take sacrifice. And you have to cancel your tickets. And you have to campaign to have people. I know it's generations. And I know you like bringing your kids. And you want to make these memories. But this is the only way to move the needle, is to cut off their source, the money. And you got to stop buying their stuff and then force the guy out. He's not going to care what you say on your radio show unless you're telling people cancel.
So
cancel.
I'm going to give
cancel.
You, but hold on. I'm going to give you a little factoid. And I was actually reading about this a few days ago, because canceling tickets, whether it's when people used to say that about the Mets to me with the Wilpons, yep, or now with the Jets or wherever, the only way to send your message is by canceling your tickets. The problem with that is you cut your nose off to spite your face. Mm. You take something great away from you, right, and your kids and your family.
Because you're there for a reason.
Right. You're there because you love the sport and you love the team. And I'll tell you this. I was a Jet fan long before Woody Johnson bought the team. And I will be a Jet fan after he's dead. That's the reality, okay? Now, let me tell you something else, because I want to give you a factoid. I have a graph in front of me, okay? It's a very interesting graph. Can you just see it a little bit?
Yes, I do.
It's NFL, a revenue graph.
Revenue graph. NFL is $18.7 billion.
Correct.
I think that's short.
Oh, it's actually higher than that now?
I think it's higher than that.
It is $18.7 billion as far as 2023 is concerned. Baseball is at $10.9 billion. The NBA is at $10.9 billion. Hockey's at $6.8. Okay, great. Why are you saying this, Evan? I'll tell you why I'm saying it. It's a pie graph to describe how they get their money. Where does all that money come from? In the NFL, which is far different than the other three sports, 66% of the money comes from national TV media.
Right. $100 billion deal.
Only 17% come from ticket sales. So you think...
And that's very different than MLB.
Very different.
Remember, we had that, not had that conversation, but we had that realization.
Yes.
When the owners were crying poverty.
Right.
During COVID.
Yes.
That's why they only played 60-something games, because they weren't going to make money.
MLB and the NHL are the two sports where the majority of the revenue comes from ticket sales. Mm. In the NFL, it's 17%. So when you say, hey, the only way to send a message is ticket sales, you're sending a message.
It's a small one, though.
But it's a tiny one. It's a small one. And if anybody listening wants to cancel their season tickets, whether it's for the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, the Yankees, you have every right to do whatever the hell you want with your money. But it's very difficult to tell people who love going there, who aren't going to let bad ownership dictate their love for their team. It's tough to tell them to do that. And again, the numbers tell you it doesn't make an impact. It's only 17% of revenue as compared to baseball, where it's 31%, the NBA, where it's 26%, and the NHL, where it's 44%.
Yeah.
I could speak to this as a Knick fan and Sean as a Ranger fan. I remember when there was, you know, the James Dolan sell the team shirts. There is hope. There is hope that you can turn. I know you fired Positive Tommy this week. There is hope. So that's why your hashtag or tweeting at him, hey, butt out, that's the key. Woody has to get out of there. He just has to butt out, sit back, count the money, and let somebody smart run the organization.
Well, you know what he needs?
And stay out of it.
You know what he needs? Because you're right. There is hope that an owner can change. There is hope. And I don't know the guy personally, so I can't make the phone call, but I will make this plea live on the radio. There is one person that can help us.
Oh. Obi-Wan Kenobi?
That person is someone I met one time.
Okay.
Seems like a okay guy, even though he's probably done a lot of weird things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's somebody who owes me, because I give him money every single year, and that man is James Dolan. James Dolan needs to pick up his phone, call up Woody Johnson,
just consult,
and say, Woody, I know what you're going through. I know how you feel, but you gotta stop. Woody Johnson is James Dolan from 15 years ago.
Wow.
James Dolan had a realization with his basketball team.
What forced that? Why did that happen?
So...
Was it Phil Jackson?
I don't think it was. I think it was just a lot of bad stuff happening and realizing I got to try something different. He was very handsy with the Melo stuff. He was handsy with a lot of stuff. And I think he just realized, or maybe he just got preoccupied with other things like the Sphere.
Maybe.
And that was it.
Honestly, that probably is it.
Well, right.
Because that's what he cares a lot about.
Right. He backed off the Rangers first because he probably doesn't care about hockey.
He doesn't
as much.
Care, yeah.
But he saw results with the Rangers, and maybe he thought, you know what? It worked with the Rangers. The Knicks are really my baby.
Right.
I'm going to back off here.
But the real key, and what happened for James Dolan hiring Leon Rose and everything, is sometimes you just need a little bit of luck. And what the Knicks did was sign a guy who was a point guard who suddenly blossomed into one of the NBA stars.
No, but you're minimizing it.
No,
you're getting
I'm not
into the weeds
it.
On this. Here's the bottom line. Because here's the bottom line.
You can hire whoever you want. You don't hit on a freaking awesome quarterback. It's not going to matter.
Bro, I think you're minimizing what the Knicks have accomplished and what Dolan has accomplished.
Yeah.
And that is, get out of the way.
Right. Get the right coach. Get out of the way.
Because here's the reality that you don't want to admit. I can. And this is not even a basketball conversation. They started to turn even before they signed Jalen Brunson. Not to this level.
Oh, you could feel it.
You could feel it.
But every owner like that, I think to a degree, is still a ticking time bomb. Like, I believe what's in James Dolan still exists, but there's no reason for him to get involved.
Well, I think you got to. So it's one, hiring the coach and the executive. Like, we have no idea what goes on. They don't talk. Right. But they clearly have a plan, and they've had a plan, because we talk about them making the postseason that random year when it was COVID and everything was, I don't know, it was weird. It was almost like an anomaly. Like, maybe this only happened because there was no energy and whatever. But they built off of it, and they've continued to build every single year. This year, they get as far as they went in the postseason to the second round, and they lose, but they do something in the offseason.
Look, it's not ideal, because you touched on it. It's not ideal that they don't talk. Like, of course it'd be great if Leon Rose did interviews once a month or ever. Like, of course.
But if you're winning, you don't need to.
Bingo. When you're winning, we care less.
Yes.
If the Jets started winning and Woody hired the right people, but they were the worst PR team in the world.
But you got to see it.
Just win.
You got to see it. You got to see it on the court of play or the field of play.
Right.
And as long as you start seeing it, then you trust, even without having a clue of what's going on.
Let's go to Ryan in Edgewater. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, I want to just kind of challenge something that Tiki said about Robert Saleh.
Go ahead.
So, being a Bills fan, right, Sean McDermott's defense has always been solid forever.
Right.
It hasn't been the best in the league, but it's been solid. The whole point of going after Rodgers was because we have this win-now team based on our defense. Insert a quarterback that's competent, better than Zach Wilson, and we're going to be this great team.
Yeah, but does that ever work? I mean, I'm being honest. Does that ever work?
Yeah. No, but my point is that I think Bob Saleh had an insane defensive line that people underrated. Bryce Huff, John Franklin Myers, Jermaine Johnson, Quinnen Williams. It reminded me of that Eagles Super Bowl D-line that had fresh guys coming in constantly. And being a Bills fan, I was terrified. Josh Allen couldn't – I was at two games in MetLife where we got absolutely dominated. So what happened this year? Jermaine Johnson hurt. Franklin Myers on a different team where he's good.
Right.
Where you look at Bills players, Trey White on the Rams getting cooked, Jordan Poyer terrible on the Dolphins. There was no sustainable defensive system. So the Jets got frauded with Rodgers, and they got frauded with Saleh, and they're more of a glorified Falcons opportunity than this overhyped we could win the Super Bowl. They weren't a player away.
No,
they need to tear it down and build it all up. And Woody Johnson got duped by, you know, multiple people, really.
Right. Okay, but there's a few things you said that I just want to push back slightly on. Okay, because I think you guys are right. Ultimately, they're not as good as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they went backwards on the defensive line. I think we even talked about that in training camp. This defense, before Robert Saleh got fired, wasn't great, but it wasn't atrocious. It's gotten worse since Saleh disappeared.
Right.
So not saying it was the 85 Bears, not even saying it was the defense from last year because they took a hit. Jermaine Johnson going out with the Achilles was also a major blow like you mentioned. But I also think coaching had a lot to do with it. They went backwards coaching-wise when they got rid of Robert Saleh and all of a sudden Jeff Ulbrich is spread too thin, or maybe they missed the input that Saleh had on defense.
Yeah.
Maybe had a greater impact on that defense than any of us wanted to give him credit for.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the statistics. This is from last week. This is before... they lost the game to the Colts. Before Robert Saleh, 17 points a game, 256 yards, and 6 takeaways. After Robert Saleh got fired, 26 points a game, 349 yards, and only 1 takeaway.
That's all you need to know.
Statistics lie to you sometimes, but that's pretty telling.
So you ask yourself, why? What happened?
You lose another defensive mind.
Yes!
You lose someone to bounce a thought off of.
Or maybe you lose the defensive mind. You know, maybe Robert Saleh, and this happens sometimes when guys are gone.
I can't
you start to appreciate
that. I can't put that on Brick, though. I don't think most people understand how hard it is to be a head coach in the NFL. So if you're going to do both, meaning call plays, you better be so meticulous about everything. I'm talking about when you wake up in the morning, how quickly you brush your teeth, when you're in your car, when you get to the office, who you're meeting with when you first get there. And because otherwise you run out of time in the day.
Right.
Because you got to do all the head coaching stuff. And that's the little things like, hey, what time are we leaving to go to, say they're going to San Francisco. What time are we leaving? Okay, what hotel are we going to stay in?
Right.
We have this. Okay, what do you want for the meal for the guys? When do you want to have the pregame meal? What about the buses? Like, it's all of this stuff that we don't think about.
You know, it's so funny. I'm sorry. I apologize for what I'm about to reference. Someone said this last night, and that person was Jordy Fernandez, the coach of the Nets, was asked at his postgame press conference, you know, it's been 11. I think Ian Begley asked, hey, it's been like 11 games. How you feeling? Like, what does it feel like? And he's like, coaching's coaching. That part I knew I could do. All that other stuff, managing people. Like, he described everything you just said and said that was the part that was like the culture shock.
Okay, now go watch hours of tape and tell me how this defense is going to stop one of the ridiculous young athletes at quarterback and Anthony Richardson.
Right.
Yeah, go figure that out as well. Because he was the DC.
Yeah.
He was doing those meetings. He was installing those defenses. He's the voice.
So is it more spreading him too thin? Because it's tough being a head coach.
100%, dude.
But also just losing that voice, though, too, with Saleh.
No doubt.
It's both.
It's definitely both. But being spread thin is hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Let's go to Anthony in Middleton, Delaware. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, Tiki?
What's up,
and Evan?
Yo.
So real quick, Evan, you said that Woody, you know, one of his faults is he wanted Rodgers out after week three. Was he right or wrong?
After week four.
Okay, was he right or wrong?
I mean, I think he was wrong. I wasn't going to bench him after week
four.
Have
you seen Rodgers play?
He hasn't been good enough, but you really want to bench Aaron Rodgers after the Denver game? You think that would have been a wise decision?
Why not? I mean, hey, if you're trying to win, I mean, if you want to just keep doing the same foolishness, then you keep him in.
Hold on a second. They had just won two games in a row against Tennessee and New England. Mm-hmm. He played pretty well in the Patriot game. They were 2-2. How do you think that locker room would have reacted if they decided to bench him after the Denver game?
They would have been fine because Terod is better than Aaron Rodgers.
I can't say that. And I like Terod Taylor.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Is he might be healthier than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And that's, I'm not saying that's insignificant, but it might be significant. Because some of the misses that you see from Aaron are because he's not set.
Right.
He's not fundamentally compromised a little bit. I'm not saying that's a death knell because he still makes some great throws, but it's just really hard when you're fundamentally off a little bit.
Do you think the Jets would have been better off going to Terod Taylor?
No.
That's the answer.
No.
The answer's no. Like, hey, Sean, you're a big Giant fan. We all like Tyrod Taylor, by the way. We all like him. He's fine. Did you think Tyrod Taylor was great for you last year?
No.
Okay. Do you think he'd be better than Aaron Rodgers?
No. And that's not a shot at Tyrod Taylor.
Of course not. It's turning into a shot at Tyrod. It's not.
In hindsight, we all remember Tyrod Taylor hitting the big deep balls last year, and that was great and all that.
What about the clock management against Buffalo?
He blew that game. How about versus the Eagles? He can't hit Saquon Barkley 2 feet in front of him for a two-point conversion. It's the reason he is a backup
quarterback. And let's take shots at Tyrod Taylor.
No.
It's that, as bad as Rodgers has been, and bad may not even be the right word, as mediocre to lousy as Rodgers has been over the last 6 or 7 weeks, whether it's injury, whether it's whatever the reason is, doesn't matter. The performance is the performance. I disagree with the notion that they would have been better off benching him for Tyrod Taylor. And the other thing our last caller doesn't take into
especially
account.
Especially then, by the way. Now might be a different story.
Now is very different. I am talking about then. That our last caller is not taking into account. How would that locker room have reacted?
Right.
We're hearing the Giant locker room react to the benching of the 2-8 Daniel Jones. Can you imagine if 4 weeks into a season in which you're 2-2, they benched the Hall of Famer?
Right. That would make no sense.
It would have been a mutiny.
Of course it would, because you're 2-2.
Right.
It's kind of not dissimilar to firing your head coach at 2-3 playing for the lead in the division.
Right. Benching Aaron Rodgers today is a very different discussion.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's not happening.
We'll have that discussion coming up. Because it's different than Woody wanting to do it after the 4th week of the year. We'll get back to your phone calls. Should the Jets bench Aaron Rodgers? And speaking of benching quarterbacks, are the Giant players pissed off at Brian Daboll and company's decision to sit Daniel Jones? We'll examine that, get Tiki's thoughts on it. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan until 6:30 tonight.